Hello, everybody out there in comic book land. My name is George Serrano, aka The Don, and we are here for the inaugural episode of the Major Issues podcast. And I'm not here alone. I'm here with fellow comic book clicker, Claudius Maximus.
Is this thing on?
And we are here finally in long form. This is the very first issue of our very special podcast, the Major Issues podcast. And we're here to talk about it all. The latest and greatest things to come to comic books and comic book media. That means movies. That means issues of comic books. Mm-hmm. Long storylines. I'm talking about news and gossip.
Oh, the things.
Casting news. And we got a little bit of news to talk about right off the bat. Oh. There's been a little trailer that's come out recently. I think some of you have seen out there. It's a trailer for Marvel's Avengers Infinity War.
Gorgeous trailer.
And as it stands now, it has been seen on YouTube over 60 million times.
That's by me alone.
How many times have you seen it already?
Like 30 million.
I've seen it a lot. I mean, this is... How long have we waited for this trailer? I've been saying for the longest time that we've gotten used to these movies being promoted a year out. Mm-hmm. And getting little by little bigger trailers or longer trailers. Mm-hmm. And by the time we get the movie, we've seen everything that there is to see.
Oh, they milked that, man. Oh, man, they waited so long. And now it's like 6 months out, the movie now, or a little bit less, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're in December now, so.
Comes out in May.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 6 months right there.
I don't mind if they release one more trailer. I'll be okay. Oh, they don't have to just release another trailer at all. I got the other one. This one that's out now, I'm carrying it in my phone.
I feel like they're confident that they don't have to show too much. And, I mean, we might as well get into what we kind of seen in the trailer. Because I think that what we have seen in the trailer kind of all stitches together. You can kind of, it tells its own story. Mm-hmm. And I think out of, you know, the 2-hour-plus movie we're getting that we only saw. I mean, we literally only saw 2 minutes of it, but
right.
I mean, we've only seen a little bit of the story that they have to tell. How much of this movie do you think is going to be about getting the Avengers together versus Thanos getting the stones? Are the Avengers going to be...
That's cool that you say that, because it's not so much getting everybody together. I think something is going to happen, and it's just it'll go without saying. You know, so no looking for nobody. People will just show up.
Right. And,
you know.
That's what makes me wonder whether or not.
The coordinated effort.
Right. That makes me wonder whether or not this is going to be a worldwide threat. You see Spider-Man, you know, responding to this threat. Maybe Tony Stark and Doctor Strange, Wong, and Bruce Banner are responding to the threat.
You see Captain Wakanda with Black Panther.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Are they responding to the same threat? A different threat? Is this a coordinated attack across many different fronts, or is this going to be just, you know, we're going to tackle one place at a time? And with this attack on Wakanda, could that mean that there's going to be Infinity Stone in Maybe. Wakanda?
Maybe.
Because we've yet to see the Soul Stone, and at this point, Black Panther is the only film left before Infinity War.
True.
Be the perfect film to introduce the stone.
Just might. Or if it pops up, then it may pop up in the beginning of Infinity War. Or at the end of Black Panther. If we don't see it inside of the movie at all.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not too familiar with his villain, Black Panthers, in this film. I know it's Eric Killmonger is going to be the name of the actual character. Michael B. Jordan is playing him. But we saw that cool sequence in the trailer where he transforms into the Black Panther.
Oh, yes,
but kind of
cool.
Could that be a stone kind of deal? Dilly? Is that like a gold? He was kind of like a gold, yellow.
But is the soul stone going to be super advanced? So I don't, you know.
Yeah, that's
it's
also
like
true.
Stark tech, but on
yeah, it could also just be yeah, it could also just be yeah, technology. The way his suit is comprised. But I guess that's why also we see Doctor Strange, because he has a stone.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they're coming for him.
Is that the time stone?
What are the odds that Bruce Banner got knocked down from space?
I thing was just kicked in the...
You think...
Right in the chest.
You think Daniels gave him a 300? This is Sparta and kicked him off. Because we see Bruce Banner has crashed through the Sanctum Sanctorum, the home of Doctor Strange and Wong. And maybe Tony Stark is being called to pick him up. Because the
and
four
bring
are
him clothes, damn it.
And bring him clothes. So he always needs clothes. This Hulk situation makes it very difficult. But what do you think about seeing these characters again? I mean, we've been waiting for this trailer for a while. But seeing things like the Spider Sense, seemingly with the hair.
Scruffy Cap.
Cap's got a beard. Cap's got a beard. Wearing a darker suit.
Natasha's
he's on the run.
Hair. Yeah, he's on the run.
Natasha as well. Hopefully that's not Natasha's like disguise, because I think that besides the hair, you can kind of tell who she is. But you know, it seems to be, but it still seems to be only half the roster at this point. We see Vision,
right?
We see Scarlet Witch.
Didn't they say Captain Marvel was gonna be in the movie?
I believe Captain Marvel was confirmed for this film. We got to see Wakanda. We really got to see. Black Panther calling the shots. You know, he gives a little bit of a speech and starts calling the shots, give that man his shield. So, Cap's back in action with his shield.
More vibranium.
They're gonna make us wait for all that, which is also kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, you notice Bucky get that obvious thing nobody pointed out. It was Bucky having his freaking arm.
Yeah, Bucky's got a new vibranium arm.
You know, so, that's nifty.
He's going to have a new vibranium arm courtesy of the Wakandan, I guess, scientists over there that were working on him. Had him on ice. And they said they weren't going to take him off ice until he was under control, but
let's see what happens.
We will see what happens with that. Speaking of under control, we'll see if Bruce Banner has control of the Hulk. But we also got to see the Hulk Buster armor out there in Wakanda.
True.
And I don't know. Remember we were watching the trailer, and I said that it looked like the Hulkbuster armor hit kind of like a gorilla pose. Like it was like walking like a gorilla. People have been theorizing that that's the Hulk or Bruce Banner inside of that.
I would think it's Hulk, if anything, not the Hulk.
Could you imagine the Hulk inside the Hulkbuster?
You need
he doesn't need the Hulkbuster armor.
You don't need the Hulkbuster. Besides, to be in the Hulkbuster, you need to be inside Iron Man's suit.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's going to open up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and the angry he gets.
Anyway.
Yeah, like I said, he doesn't need it. But it was kind of, I mean, that's kind of how the Hulk
operates. Yeah, and you do see Bruce, standing next to the arm of the Hulkbuster, ripped arm of the Hulk.
Yeah, so what are the odds that you think Bruce Banner has his own specialized Hulkbuster armor?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, that means
that, there is.
That does also split the team, sort of. We have Cap, Widow, T'Challa, Falcon I saw, and then if that's not Tony, then that's Bruce. And that puts Tony in New York with Spider-Man, Doctor Strange. And then seemingly, I bet you the Guardians and Thor land over there.
So that means they probably are split up when they fight Thanos. Oh, no.
But that's another thing, too. Banner's going to have to get from New York to Wakanda. And call out,
jump straight over there.
Because Falcon, I mean, we saw Falcon out there. But like I said, I'm just speculating on what we saw. We've seen nothing. Yeah. We've seen Thanos has two stones.
We've seen the gist of it.
Thanos has two Infinity Stones.
I don't know. But I think that shot is him with all of them. You know how they did with Thor's trailer?
You think that they CGI'd and he only has two in the trailer?
Definitely.
But he has really... Huh. Well, the ones he has, it's peculiar because it's the ones from space.
Right.
It's the Tesseract that we kind of see Loki offering. And it's the Power Stone, which was in Guardians.
Yeah, Ronan
which
had it.
The Nova Corps.
Well, they have it now.
On Xandar. That's the Guardians gave it to them for safekeeping, but who knows what's gone on there if... He has the power stone.
What is going to happen.
Now, Loki seems to be handing over the Tesseract to Thanos. But before that, in the trailer, Thanos is seeming to, or somebody seems to be walking over a bunch of, like, dead bodies. Is this Loki calling for mercy? Is this Loki calling to save his own ass, theoretically?
No.
Or
we don't even know what happened.
But Loki's the type to be like, hey,
Yeah.
You know, cut me in. I'm all about this destroying the world thing. I can get you what you need. Here's one of them. I know where the other ones are. Are we seeing an allegiance, or do you think he's just trying to save his own skin?
I don't know. He's been all right. I mean, he's always been wishy-washy, so... I don't know, man. Like, I seen him in the trailer. I was like, ah, oh, here we go, bro.
Yeah,
I knew it wasn't going to last,
and
dude.
We saw him walk past it in Thor. We saw him walk past the Tesseract in Thor, so...
So I guess he pocketed it.
For safekeeping? That's what I'm saying. Was he guarding it? I mean, so many questions. We got to see Spider-Man in his new suit, which I thought was awesome. And it looks like it's in layers. Like, it has the, like, lines. It looks very much metallic, like, throughout. Yeah,
If I see the Iron Spider, like...
arms coming out the back,
kind of
like...
Arms coming out the back, that would be cool.
Yeah, and they did it in Superior Spider-Man, too, so... it works also with different, I guess you could say, colored costumes, because we've seen it with Iron Spider.
I just want it to douche as soon as when the movie comes
launch out.
So, yeah,
that'd be... I could see that being a major upgrade. We got the Guardians on deck.
Come on, guys.
All of them, fresh off of their stuff with Ego, the Living Planet.
So I guess they saved Thor from whatever he was, because he ends up on the ships. So.
Spoilers in the leaked trailer, Thor lands on the ship.
Oh yeah,
on
the windshield.
That would also speak to what we were talking about before with the Hulk. So, as we know, Thor and the Hulk. Spoilers if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok. At the end, Thor and the Hulk are on a ship. I guess we can give very minor spoilers, right?
Yeah.
Thor and the Hulk are on a ship. And that ship encounters a bigger ship that people think is Thanos' ship. If that is Thanos' ship and Thanos just blows it to smithereens, I could see Thor landing on top of the Guardian ship and then Hulk going all the way down to
Earth, kicked all the way to Earth.
Kicked all the way to Earth. So you think they'd board it? They're gonna board the ship?
I don't know.
Let them know what I mean, Thanos is one to kind of show his strength. Maybe they get that off the bat. They the two strongest there is.
I'm saying I don't know because I feel like the first confrontation somebody's gonna die.
I hope that's not the case. I mean, we've spent so much time with these characters that...
Yeah, man.
It's going to be hard to see any of them go. People have been speculating who's going to go. I'm kind of not interested in that because...
I don't want
any of them to go, but we still haven't seen Hawkeye, I believe. Did we see Ant-Man? I'm not sure.
No Ant-Man.
I'm pretty sure all those guys were confirmed.
Well, not yet, but they're going to be in. They're going to be in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, but I'm saying of how little they've showed us of this film. So much that we know hasn't happened yet or we haven't seen, which is, to me, a good sign because you don't want to show, I guess, too much. Now, we also saw Justice League, the movie, and we're going to do a review further down the line. We didn't want to get into that on our first episode because that deserves its own episode, and this one is split a little bit differently. But Justice League's trailer, the first trailer, is a little bit over $40 million. Infinity War is at $60 million. Justice League is at $40 million. What do you think? And that's kind of similar to how Justice League did in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't reach the heights that people thought it would, and it's seemingly gonna not even make as much as Batman versus Superman. What do you think is the cause of that? Do you think it is the quality of the film? Do you think it was bad press going out when people heard it was gonna be messed with? Do you think that people got turned off with Batman vs. Superman? So people were like, I'm not taking my daughter or my son to go see that again?
I think that's their one biggest problem is that they rush. If they take their time and told whatever they wanted to tell the way they should be told, awesome. Look at Wonder Woman.
Yeah. They let Wonder Woman get told the way it was, and... I mean, you hear all the studio interference that happens with these movies, and a lot, apparently, with Justice League. We heard a series, I mean, at least an hour and a half, almost another movie, was cut out of this film. And seemingly, we're going to have to wait for that to come out on Blu-ray to find out all the juicy material, but we heard some scenes that took place. And, you know, without getting into them here, we'll get into them into the Justice League review. But crazy.
Almost made me depressed. Did make me depressed.
A complete other movie got cut out, and it is ridiculous. So you start wondering whether or not DC knows what's going on their side. But for some strange reason, for the last couple of years, the one thing they have been able to nail is their live-action television shows. Mm-hmm. And that means the Supergirls, the Arrows, the Flashes, and the Legends of Tomorrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And we had the pleasure of being able to watch their latest crossover event, because once a year they like to get all these shows together ever since they managed to get all four shows up in the air.
And give us something shiny.
Yeah, they like to give us a crossover event the same way they do in comic form. They want to give us these characters together in one story, and this story... it's called Crisis on Earth X. Now, just off of the back of it, how did you feel about Crisis on Earth X?
My favorite part was that it wasn't stretched out over the week, to be honest with you. That two-night, four-episode thing, that was great. Because I didn't have to wait all week. Even though, you know, some people work, like, I work too. I work and stuff like that, obviously. Yeah. But I wasn't... I was trying to catch it, but sometimes I'd get stuck at work, and then I have to go home and, you know, go back and go get it.
Yeah, I mean, so you're kind of dedicating the same time slots every day to the same network if you catch all these four shows back to back, right? Like, you're like nothing could come on at 8 o'clock at all during the week.
Yeah, and for catching, every day. And catching the two episodes for those two nights was like just getting a big old dose of medicine.
Right.
So just getting a regular dose.
And this felt more like a one concentrated movie to me than the first crossover, which was The Invasion.
The Invasion.
With the Dominators. Mm-hmm. I did like that crossover. Yeah. I like to see these guys together. I like to see how distrusting Barry is. I mean, of Ali is, of Kara. I like to see Barry and Ali together, you know, with Ali being the mentor and Barry just beaming with hope at all points sometimes. But this was, I felt, a more concentrated effort to show what these guys really, you know, what they're made of, and more to show how far this has come. You know, we only have one Defender season.
Yeah.
and look how far the DC...
But the crossovers make up for that, though. You know, even for... four episodes. You know,
oh, no, that's so what I mean, is
that's great.
What I say is that I think that Marvel could learn a little bit from DC, because at the end of this Crisis on Earth X, you see, like, the lineup that they've amassed over these years. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of... they have a lot of people.
Yeah,
they do. You know, considering that you can't even say who's the star of Legends, right?
That's true, yeah.
Where you know that Supergirl is about Supergirl, and Arrow is about Arrow, Flash is about Flash. Legends could be about Ray. Legends could be about Sarah. Mm-hmm. And we just saw, you know, someone pass in this crisis. So to be able to juggle all those characters and then have all these other characters come back, a lot of our favorites and a lot of callbacks to each specific show. And if you paid attention, I thought this crossover was amazing. I thought that this was a...
beautiful.
Almost like them flexing their muscle and showing that this kind of method of storytelling is here to stay. And with all the pessimism out there sometimes, and sometimes people don't have the ability to stay optimistic, sometimes shows like this are able to, I think, generate that. Especially with a story like this, Crisis on Earth X, dealing with Nazis and choosing to... choose what's different about each other than embrace what is different and about mankind and the human race. But it all starts off with a...
but Nazis are always bad.
Yeah.
Even on other Earths.
Even on other Earths. And then we find that out because it starts off on the other Earth in question. Mm-hmm. It starts off on Earth X. And on Earth X... oh, well, we should go ahead and say that this is going to be a spoiler...
yes.
Absolute spoiler-filled.
So if you haven't seen...
super spoilerific.
Said crossover.
We got to come up with something to name, some way to brand that. A super spoiler review of Crisis on Earth X.
Dun, dun, dun.
It starts off in a parallel world, Earth X, where Nazis rule and reign supreme. We get introduced to the Dark Archer, I guess, of this Earth. I thought we had a pretty cool costume.
Yeah.
The red and black, the red face and black. Mask. And he seems to be looking for something, but automatically kills two security guards upon coming in, and we already know that this is going to be an action-packed series of episodes. So, this is also a Supergirl episode.
Yes.
This first episode of The Crisis. So, to see this much action early on was pretty cool. So, we see one of the members of the Freedom Fighters, Gladiator, from this Earth, Jimmy Olsen.
I'm not a Jimmy Olsen fan.
Not a Jimmy Olsen fan?
I'm sorry to say it.
You're not a Jimmy Olsen superhero fan, or are you not a Jimmy Olsen on the show fan? Or?
I'm not a Jimmy Olsen CW fan.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
What don't
not,
you like about
not,
him? Is it this Jimmy Olsen, or?
This Jimmy Olsen.
Okay.
Just this Jimmy Olsen. I don't know.
You're not a fan?
Not a fan.
But on this Earth, I guess he's a member of the Freedom Fighters.
Yeah.
Because this is very much based off of Grant Morrison's, I believe it's called Multiversity story. Where on Earth 10, everyone's Nazis, and the Justice League on that Earth is called the Freedom Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually led, their leader is Uncle Sam. So fighting for Uncle Sam, I guess, is Gladiator, who pulls out a Captain America like shield and he's not able to get the better of the Dark Archer, who stabs him and seemingly takes something away from him.
Sadly, I was pleased. At that moment,
that,
I was pleased.
That even another...
I was very pleased,
that A, Jimmy Olsen.
Yes, I got to see that, you know.
Poor Jimmy.
On Earth X.
Poor Jimmy.
Thank you, Evil Oliver.
But we are back from our vacation from Earth X, and we go back to our Earth. Earth Zero, or Earth One?
Earth Uno.
I guess, and this in...
The Earth.
The Earth. The Earth. Capital T, capital E. You know what it is? In the comics, it's Earth Zero. So... I believe, that makes sense, that this would be Earth 1. So, on our Earth, Earth 1, everybody's getting ready for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding of the century, seemingly, because we have been waiting for Iris West Allen, I guess, in this instance, to be created ever since we saw her name on that newspaper. We knew that these two were destined. Barry Allen, Iris West, we were waiting for the wedding. And they seem to be waiting, too. And everyone seems to be waiting to hand in their invitations because they all need to be called last minute to say whether or not they're coming to this wedding. Ridiculous. Ali, you're in the
worst friends in the world. How is everybody RSVPing
Ali,
at the last minute?
Ali, you are in the wedding, bro. Like, how do you not? And Felicity's in the wedding. I believe Felicity's. She's not the best.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The maid of honor. The maid of honor is Feliz. No, Caitlin Snow. Yeah. Caitlin Snow got that honor in the little girls' night episode. But Felicity still wants to go. Everybody wants to go. Even people from other Earths, Supergirl herself and her sister Alex, decide that they're going to, you know, throw away all their stress and
all
problems.
All their woes
of failed relationships at the moment to seek some adventure on Earth One in the form of this wedding. We have the legends going with Martin Stein and Jefferson Jackson, who, after meeting up with Harrison, Cisco, and Caitlin, find a way to stop being Firestorm. Something that seems to be the greatest news in the world to Martin. And for some strange reason, Jefferson is not too happy. I like how they played with this off the beginning, you know, the separation idea. We heard a lot of stories about Victor Garber leaving. And I think he's been a great addition as far as older actors are concerned. We rarely get older actors. The same way I like the guy who plays Barry's father, John Wesley Shipp.
Right.
You know, I like when the older actors are there, the more seasoned vets. And so we knew that we were going to lose him soon. But I like how they're playing with this separation from the beginning.
If I was Jax, I would have just told everybody, find a way how to... For me to keep the Firestorm Matrix.
Well, that's the thing. Later on, when they have the conversation about the powers, we end up finding out that that's not really why he's 100% upset.
Right.
That they've come up with a cure. But we'll get to that in a bit. Because we get to the rehearsal dinner, where things are going down. We got people drinking whiskey and scotch.
Super down.
Black Canary gets introduced to Alex Danvers. Alex Danvers, lesbian.
Right.
Not that we judge here at Major Issues. And Black... Oh, White Canary. I'm so sorry. Well, she was the original Black Canary, yes, but White was. Canary. Sarah Lance. Bisexual. They're having a couple shots at the bar, and I guess one thing leads to another, and they are shown making out, enjoying each other's company, while Joe is leaning into one of the best Joe West speeches he's ever given.
Joe West, ladies and gentlemen.
About love and how Barry has
now... We love Joe West on this side, guys. Joe West.
Hey, Joe West has been killing it. You know, he really does play the dad figure well. I mean,
yep.
The fact that his son and his daughter seemingly are getting married in this instance doesn't seem to bother him. He's able to, but he got Cecile now.
And he got a baby.
Now he's about to be Papa West. Papa West all over again. This is what they want.
He's going to retire soon.
Put the hat back on. That's why you got to put the hat on, because if not, you have more kids.
It's off.
Too many kids.
Oh, no, we're
getting too many kids.
Let's go back to the crisis.
Supergirl gets asked to sing at the wedding. Mm-hmm. We find out gets asked to sing. She got asked to do a favor. And in the spirit of people asking for things, in the spirit of people asking for what they feel that they deserve,
damn.
Oliver Queen proposes to Felicity. Jeez. In one of the most awkward proposals we've ever seen in this Arrowverse, as the people say.
It was still heartbreaking.
How did you feel about that whole instance? Obviously, Ollie did not just go
and
get on one knee, but...
You know how Ollie is?
Yeah, he's a little awkward.
You know, so... But damn, Felicity.
Yeah, I mean, he really... Ollie does play, like, bashful well, like, shy. Like, awkwardly shy because he's been, you know, kind of killing people for a long time, so he doesn't know how to, like, express his emotions. So he plays that really, really well. And I thought he played that really well in this scene. Because they went so... they went to such lengths in the scene where Barry and Ollie are trying on their suits to say that they both do deserve the girl. And that the struggles they go through as the Flash and as Arrow are easier when you have somebody you love beside them.
Barry giving Oliver a pep talk.
Do you believe that?
Check it out. Check it out.
Do you believe...
Full circle.
That... Do you believe that that's the case? Do you believe that it does become easier? Because, I mean, they become targets. You know? They become targets, and sometimes they become liabilities. Look at the Peter Parker, Mary Jane situation. So do you lean more on the keep, you know, keep your enemy super close and everyone you love super far because they can endanger them? Or is it a case of...
Because I end up going crazy that way.
That's true.
I almost went crazy.
Batman's kind of crazy that way. You know, Batman's kind of been for a long time because he refuses to let people in. Yeah, he refuses to let people in. But they let everyone in on this show.
Except the Batcave. Batman lets everybody in the Batcave.
Yeah. But they letting all the love in on this show. And, you know, you would think that Felicity would just kind of go along. I mean, not go along. She said that they were doing so well. But yeah, like kind of be cool, chill about it. But I think
she made people turn around.
But she was caught off guard. You know, in her defense, she was caught off guard. And she flips out about it. And, well, basically just out loud says she won't marry.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of, oh my God. But we don't got time for that because it's time for the wedding. Like I said, the wedding of the century. We have Barry so quick, he's able to go and get breakfast for Iris and go get changed for the wedding. So he didn't have to see the bride before the wedding. Great tradition, as you know. We have the most awkward morning in the world with Alex trying to sneak out of League of Assassin, a former member of the League of Assassins bedroom. I'm pretty sure Sarah knew she was trying to sneak out from that one night stand. We have Supergirl floating in Felicity. I guess she got to bunk there.
Yep.
I like the thought of them two hanging out, you know, discussing things. And
Supergirl flies when she sleeps.
When Supergirl sleeps, maybe you know she has a good dream. She floats up in the air, and maybe she was just excited because it's time for the wedding, and everybody's there. People are, I mean, from all four shows are making cameos. Heatwave finally shows up, and he doesn't know where to sit, which is kind of funny because he says that he's kind of tried to kill the groom way too many times to probably be able to sit in the groom section. Which, I mean, at least he's honest.
Yeah, that's kind of true, but. sat next with all the cops.
Yeah. Yeah, he sat next to Sing. Sing must have been like, hey, don't I know you from somewhere? Isn't the only reason why you're not arrested because you're not in this timeline? So it was cool to see him. You know, we see everybody. We see Ali standing next to Joe, standing next to Barry. Like, we've been waiting for this for a very long time. And Supergirl starts singing the song from the musical episode that Barry wrote for Iris, which was very sweet. And to see Iris come down in the wedding dress and to see Grant Gustin be able to muster up some tears and tear up made this, you know, very sweet. And this is what we love about this show, is it their ability to portray these emotions and not be afraid to...
And make us feel soft.
Yeah, and not be afraid to just show that people care about one another. They go into the vows as usual, and right, like every wedding that's ever taken place, right when the priest says, speak now, forever hold your peace.
Right on cue.
They are interrupted by, I believe, an explosion, and a bunch of armed guards wearing Nazi symbols come in, accompanied by Prometheus, the Dark Archer, and Overgirl, who are all covered in face masks. Adi recognizes them as Nazis off the rip, and Kara also has a problem with Nazis. I want to know where that is from. Maybe I haven't been paying attention, but Kara seems to know that these are Nazis.
People hate Nazis,
but
bro.
They both. I mean, you should hate Nazis, but I'm surprised that they both know what a Nazi is, especially Supergirl. But they are there, and they seem to be threatening the wedding. And I mean, it doesn't take much longer.
And we must throw hands.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all for everybody on the opposite side to really throw down. Now, it is weird that I was surprised at how quickly everyone was ready to go. Like, I mean, I shouldn't be right at this point. Everybody's on, like,
the only one that doesn't surprise me is Oliver.
Yeah. I mean, Firestorm, that effect is always going to get a pop out of me. You know, ready in an instant. The girls ripping their skirts so they know that they have some flexibility with their kicks, and their offense was awesome. The way Cisco got into gear, Caitlin, I mean, why would you kind of bust into a wedding full of superheroes? But we find out that this is the only chance that they're able to get what their goal is, and which is Supergirl at the moment. Supergirl's off her Earth, which is very rare. And in this instance, they would be able to get her. But the fight here is one of my favorite scenes in this, because off the back, you have the Nazi army with shooting a hail of bullets at everybody, and just Barry saving everybody in the instance. And then you see Wally do the same thing later on, and just so cool, like, to see those effects, especially considering that they're both speedsters, and sometimes you forget that Wally's on the show and that Wally can do the same thing and, you know, can help out just as much. They've been putting Wally on the whole save everybody detail lately.
I don't like
so
that.
It's cool.
I don't like that.
It's cool to see him, you know, front and center. And this is his sister's wedding, so. Yeah.
But don't have him come back and have him babysit.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was able to help out. Prometheus is attacking both Alex and White Canary.
Yes.
And the girls seem to be able to handle him quite, you know, easily.
Quite swell.
But, I mean, one is, like I said, again, trained in the League of Assassins, and the other one has fought aliens before.
Yeah, that's true.
Alex has fought aliens before. So they were able to put all their awkwardness aside, since their one-night stand, and kick some butt here. Prometheus on our Earth, or Earth 1, is Adrian Chase, but in this instance, he isn't. We end up finding out, but we'll get to that in a bit. Because the Nazis retreat. After Dark Archer has...
tough.
Yeah, Dark Archer and Ali go at it. And it's almost like it's Ali fighting himself.
Oh, my gosh.
In some kind of way. So Dark Archer after Supergirl and Overgirl, oh yeah, they also were going at it, going heat vision for heat vision.
Thunderclap.
And Thunderclap was able to keep her a little bit stunned. So the Nazis retreat, and you find out that the Dark Archer is the dark version of Oliver Queen, the Nazi version of Oliver Queen, and he is the Führer, a.k.a. the leader of this entire Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. And he is accompanied by Overgirl, the evil version of Kara Danvers, the Nazi version, and they are husband and wife. Yes, and wife. To make the trio, or I think it was four people. Then there was Prometheus, who we find out is actually Tommy Merlin. Of season one Arrow fame, the son of Malcolm Merlin, one of Oliver Queen's biggest foes, who died in season one, but I guess in Nazi world he managed to live. And the fourth member of this team is not even from that Earth. He's from Earth One. He's from the Flash's Earth. Straight from the future, the past, or maybe the present, Eobard Thawne.
He's coming back.
It's working alongside the Nazis just to get at Barry again on Barry's wedding day. Yeah, I honestly think that Eobard Thawne is one of the most sadistic villains of all time.
To stick it to Barry.
Yeah, apparently, especially if he has time to make it for his wedding. I mean, that was sweet of him. But Tommy Merlin commit suicide before being able to answer too many questions. They get into kind of a little emotional thing about on my Earth, you were my best friend. And, I mean, they go through that throughout this episode. I never really understand why people are trying to gain sympathy from people from other Earths. Mm-hmm. Am I making too much of a big deal out of this?
If anything, Oliver should have known better.
Is this Oliver's first time dealing with this doppelganger? Well, no, not even because of Black Siren. The Black Canary doppelganger from Earth 2 still hanging around. Still hanging around Arrow's side. So he should be on this because he knows that's not his Laurel. And he's already figured that out. So why would this be his Tommy? But, you know, it is what it is. Prometheus commits suicide, which is, I mean, have we seen that before on this?
No.
I remember seeing this last time I saw this was in Wonder Woman this summer. Was when they try to question the guy under the Lasso of Truth, and he takes the cyanide pill. But, you know, they're not able to get any information out of him. But with all the brilliant minds, they're able to put together that there is a 53rd Earth out of the 52 that they thought that they knew about, the 53rd being the one where Nazis overrun everything. So, they find out that the, I guess you could call them the unholy trio. The unholy trio is now at a warehouse looking for something. It seems that they call the Prism. It is a power source. And Oliver's team shows up. And we get the revelation that it is going to be the evil versions versus the good versions. Now, how did you like this standoff here?
I liked it. But my favorite part was Eobard being back.
And Eobard, basically, that's when he explains that he's from Earth One, and don't you know, like, Barry's like, this doesn't make any sense, and we're like, it doesn't make any sense, and Eobard's like, well, time travel doesn't make any sense, you idiots,
tricky.
Yeah, he's like, I've been telling you idiots that time travel don't make any sense for the longest time, and yeah, don't believe me, what's wrong with you? So that
was good enough for me, I was like, well.
yeah, he's back.
Well, yes.
So in this battle, Ollie pulls out a kryptonite arrow. Out of nowhere. Who knows why? Well, we know why. Because Carl does ask why. He says, well, in case the Eastbu version of you ever pops up. And that's the exact reason here. And he uses that kryptonite arrow to great effect. It does pierce Overgirl, the evil version of Supergirl. But, now we know that there's kryptonite on this Earth. Could there be a Superman on this Earth? This will be very interesting to see if any of this develops. You know, Arrow just name-dropped Bruce Wayne recently. So this could all be, just little winks at the audience. Or this could all legit be, you know, breadcrumbs that will lead to bigger things. Because that's what this show likes to do, is to lead these breadcrumbs. But the Unholy Trio is able to get what they need end up getting everybody captive. You know, Ollie, Barry, Sarah, firestorm. Everybody who went out to stop them from getting this prism ends up captive at a concentration camp
on Earth-X,
which is, I mean, it's not easy to get from one Earth to another. But trapped on Earth-X
on a concentration camp
are all our heroes, and the villains are still trapped on our Earth with, I mean...
At Star Labs.
Yeah, on our side, all we have is Kara, Felicity, Iris, Cisco. But, I mean, majority of those guys end up getting knocked out and trapped in the pipeline. Heatwave's in the pipeline. Kanan's in the pipeline. Cisco's in the pipeline. Harry's in the pipeline. Yeah. And so, we at this... everything seems pretty much very, very dire. But why Supergirl? Why Supergirl? They came all the way over here for Supergirl. Turns out that the big major plan is that Overgirl is dying. Too much radiation. Very similar to All-Star Superman and the last days of Superman. Apparently that is something that can happen to a Kryptonian. They can get too much solar radiation and end up dying. And so,
what is she sitting on the sun?
I guess like she just, well, she says, I flew too closely to the sun. You know, she says in a cute little line there. So we find out that that's what they are trying to use the prism for, is to make it, turn it into a red sun, an artificial red sun.
Yes.
And use that red sunlight, which we know is a weakness to Kryptonians, to make her skin weaker so they can pierce it.
Cut it,
pull the heart out, give it to Overgirl. One of the more sadistic plots we've seen here on the CW-verse, right? How often have we heard about somebody trying to cut a heart out? That doesn't happen very often. And so we know off the bat that these guys are bad, bad people. And everything seems dire because the people that would seemingly be there to help Kara are on Earth-X. But we find out the head of Earth-X is Quentin Lance. So, well, I guess not. He's Earth X is Quentin Lance.
Yes.
He's Earth, the father of Laurel and Sarah Lance, the sheriff, detective of the PD over there in Star City. He is the head there, and so Sarah can't believe it.
General.
She's another one, right? Everyone cannot believe that they're seeing versions of themselves. And I guess it kind of would be weird. I have never been in that position, so maybe I shouldn't talk.
Right.
But it seems like everybody's so shocked at this idea that people could look exactly like people that they know, but it's not them. Like,
but out of all people, memories. Why would it surprise Sarah? She's all over the place.
She's died twice.
Time travel.
You
she's
know.
On the way, writer.
I don't feel like I'm asking for much, but Sarah seems to be surprised. And they go into a whole thing about homosexuality here, because in Nazi Germany at the time, homosexuals were marked with a pink symbol. And they demonstrate that here when we meet Ray. And also with Sarah being bisexual, it is mentioned that Quentin's daughter was also bisexual, the Earth-X version of Quentin's daughter, and he had her exterminated for that. He says that sadistically before grabbing everybody and attempting to put them in front
line
of a
fire. Up.
Yeah, line them up in front of a firing squad. The gang says, no way, Jose. They start to eye each other from the side, start to make little hand signals and movements. They seem to be ready for a coordinated attack. They go to turn around, and they're all electrocuted. I thought it was a crazy part of the episode where it seemed like they had a plan. I mean, they would have, right?
Thought they did.
In that moment.
Stop it.
But they were stopped on a dime. By being electrocuted. I'm guessing these are also power dampening gloves because the flash is not phasing through them. But they are saved by Leo. And his ice gun, or freeze gun, I guess. I'm not too sure what is going on Earth X, but this is the Earth X doppelganger of Leonard Snartz. Our Leonard Snart, our Captain Cold. This is actually Citizen Cold, to call back to Flashpoint. In the Flashpoint story, when Barry Allen is listening to a television, he hears about Citizen Cold. So this is calling back to that. Citizen Cold, a.k.a. Leo Snart, not Leonard, saves Ray and the rest of the heroes, our legends. And we find out that Ray and Leo are a item. Leo wasn't just there to save it, just anybody. He was there to save his boyfriend. What do you think about the revelation that this version of Captain Cold is gay?
That was cool. I kind of like that they had two girls and they showed the two guys too. So that was kind of.
It's true. I mean, well, this is a legit crossover.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And as well, yeah, you had. I didn't even put that together. So you had three versions of love, like, in a way, because you then had the main story of the wedding. I didn't even think about that. But also, Wentworth Miller, the man who plays Leo Snart, is also gay. So this, we don't know how much longer he was going to play this role. He says he might be exiting. We don't even know yet after the fate of what goes on in this crossover.
Right.
Doesn't really lean to say that he's leaving. But if he is going out, what a way to go out, right? In this role here, even with the goggles that are very more similar to his comic counterpart, which I thought was pretty cool. But Thorn is more sadistic than ever. He's the surgeon of this whole thing. Like, he's excited to be the surgeon. He wants to crack open Supergirl, he says. And, you know, he's making comments about meeting Superman and being faster. Meeting Superman in the future. Do you think that's something that we get to? Do you think that they would have Thorn cross over somehow to Supergirl and he takes on maybe them two as a team or that version of Superman in the future?
I don't know. Or we might get our version of Superman on the Arrow side instead of going Earth 3 on Kara's side.
Yeah.
So that would be nice.
That's true.
Mad interesting too.
That's true. And we get to see some Supergirl action with Reverse Flash, which I think would be pretty cool. Speaking of girls doing pretty cool things, Iris and Felicity are able to turn down the power and start messing with the unholy trio, but are captured by Reverse Flash before giving him the password to get the power right back on. It was cool to see them work together. These are the
girl power,
and they are, you know, they're Barry and Ollie's
things,
the booze, bays, and to see them work in similar fashion and have such good team camaraderie was pretty cool to see. How did you feel about them in general? You know, Iris and Felicity get a lot of hate sometimes from the community at large. Do you feel like they were, like any of their parts were boring or forced?
No, I think they had awesome chemistry, actually, to be honest with you. I feel like they fed off each other, you know, so I thought every time they had any type of back and forth, I thought it was kind of funny and cool.
In situations like this, when you have a show with all these characters, it's hard to juggle, right? Because everybody
I was just about to say that, too. The balance is freaking awesome, man.
Right, like, but I think in this, everyone kind of got to shine. I mean, Cisco got knocked out for a while, and then he woke up in the pipeline for a while. So, I mean, some people had to get benched sometimes. Right. But I think it rotated, and everyone kind of got a chance to shine because you'd go from, and especially now at this point of the story, when you're going from both Earths, everyone has a different story to tell. Like, we go back to where the Freedom Fighters are, and General Wynn General Shot is commanding and seems to be a lot more rugged version than the version from Kara's Earth. If you're not familiar, Wynn Shot is the doppelganger of Wynn Shot. and he's like Supergirl's best friend.
Right.
You know, it's Supergirl's tech guy, the Cisco of Supergirl's universe, basically. You know, really helps that team. And now he's working for the DEO. So, again, Alex makes a mistake of thinking that this guy gives a damn about anybody on her Earth and tries to plead with him when he says that they have a way to get everybody from Earth-X back to Earth-1. But instead of using it, they're going to blow it up to keep everybody, all the villains, the whole unholy trio, on Earth-1. Now, did you blame Wynn at all in this instance?
Because he probably knew they could handle it on Earth-1 anyway.
This is a war that's been going on for decades. He says grandfathers and fathers and people have lost.
Right.
They haven't got a single W in this war or else they wouldn't have gone as far as it did. He was desperate. I mean, everyone there looks like they haven't slept. You know, Ray was part of the Freedom Fighters. He's in jail. He was in the concentration camp. So it's like they've been taking L's over and over again, and I think he finally saw a W with being able to close the door and keep them on that side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with what we find out later, they seem to be, like, they were ready for all of this. They were ready to take on whatever the good guys had because they were getting ready to launch their Nazi Wave Rider.
Yeah, this was it.
You know, that was the big plan. The major plan that they were trying to do was this Nazi Wave Rider situation. The only reason why they took so long to do it was because they needed the Fuhrer, the Dark Archer, the Dark Arrow. And the only reason why he didn't make the call was because he's too busy trying to operate on his girl. Mm-hmm. But they decide to, because they're still stuck on Earth X, even though they've escaped the concentration camp. Oh, you know, we were just caught by these guys a day ago. How about we try to go back and I'll pretend that I'm, you know, the Fuhrer. And it doesn't work. They bring out a Felicity. And they're like, oh, yeah, if you're the Fuhrer, shoot Felicity. Or you shoot this, you know, this doppelganger version of the girl that we know you like. Again, something they did very fast. They did a lot of research. And Ali's unable to make the shot because, well, he actually goes to go shoot.
Yeah, and there wasn't no bullets in the gun.
Yeah, he goes to go shoot evil Quentin Lance. And Oliver is found out. I thought it was kind of a bad plan anyway. But they're able to fight through. Firestorm comes back together. And as a team, everybody's able to subdue the Nazi army just long enough to find the switches needed to turn on the gateway to go
home.
Earth 1. Now, to switch some of these gateways, switch some of these switches, meant getting in the way of Nazi gunfire, and Martin Stein, one half of Firestorm,
takes the bullet.
A couple bullets.
Actually, a couple.
A couple bullets. And, I mean, we lost one half of Firestorm. After teasing the separation early, Victor Garber seems to be completely
separated one way or another.
Now, no one really dies in comics, so we're not 100% sure if that's what's going to happen, if he's gone for good. But seemingly he's gone, and, you know, what a dramatic way to go, like, to see him actually be taken down, mm-hmm. Sacrificing himself in several points of this.
I didn't think it was going to make me kind of all that sad, but it kind of did. Because, you know, I got introduced to him on Flash.
Well, the other
he stuck around for a little bit.
The other thing is you have so many instances in which, in this crossover where he would tell Jackson that you're my son. You know, you're my family. Right. Like, what are you talking about? You're my son, you're my family. And eventually comes out that that's the main reason why he's upset that they can't be Firestorm together.
Right.
He has no interest in being Firestorm by himself. He really wants to be Firestorm with Martin, and he says that Martin's like a dad and like the dad he never had. So to have that revelation come out for the first time and then moments later have him shot, you know, that plays with the heartstrings. It definitely does. But without Martin, we wouldn't be able to get back into Earth 1, and they're able to get back into to be Firestorm and Martin stable for a bit before they separate again. And now they're both in pain. They're both feeling the effects of these gunshot wounds.
Now,
Jefferson is also feeling the pain. And it's at a point where if Jefferson does not take the serum, or if Martin does not take the serum to separate them,
the serum,
they'll both die.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we already get that heartbreaking thing because if it was up to Martin, he would just take the serum
without
Jefferson knowing, but he can't reach it. He needs Jefferson to hand him the serum that's going to kill him. And they play this up for dramatic effect, and it works because they did the time to make us care about these two characters. And Jefferson hands Martin the bottle. Martin says a bunch of sweet things about Jefferson living a long life and passes away, and we lose a legend.
One half of Firestorm.
We see how everybody takes the news. The newly freed Kara and Felicity and Iris, who were just freed by the Atom, who makes his final appearance. Not final appearance, but finally, like, hello, where were you, Ray Palmer? He finally shows up. Vixen shows up. We got everybody's on deck now. We got Mr. Terrific.
More on deck now.
Yeah, Mr. Terrific and Black Canary, who showed up earlier in the crossover. Like, there's been too many people to count. been just trying to keep on the main storyline and reviewing some of my favorite parts. But everybody's here now. And now that, you know, now that the surgery can't happen for Overgirl, Dark Ollie is pissed. And now that Martin Stein is dead, regular Ollie is pissed. Yeah. So both sides basically choose to wage war. Heroes versus Nazis in a big battle in Central City. How do you feel about that setup?
I thought it was going to happen in space.
Really?
To be honest. Not space. I thought all the final was going to happen on Earth X.
Okay, so, in a different Earth?
Yeah, definitely. If anything, I was hoping it kind of happened out in the concentration camp somehow.
And we should also mention that we got the help of, you know, Earth Xer Citizen Cold.
Yes.
And I would say Earth Xer Ray, but we find out the Ray is actually from Earth 1.
Yes.
They don't mention how he got to Earth X, but, well, you know, could be the same way.
No questions.
No questions. Well, we'll get some answers on his show. Supposedly, he's supposed to be having a show on the CW Seed alongside Titans, which is going to be coming out. Have you seen that Robin costume?
Yeah, I've seen that.
It looks pretty good. We'll talk about that at another time. Yeah, we'll talk about that at another time. The Nazis also were using... we got to see a cameo by Red Tornado when they were using
it as
a weapon as well. A Nazi Red Tornado, but they were able to take care of that on Earth X. I forgot to mention that. I wanted to shout out Red Tornado because we haven't seen him since Supergirl. And he was one of my favorite little cameos in this, especially seeing as he was evil. Because, I mean, robots could be evil too. But, you know, we have both sides. They come at it. They go to a head. Supergirl and Overgirl are going at it. And Overgirl explodes. Overgirl explodes. And she basically falls down. She explodes. She's dead. What am I talking about? Supergirl is holding Overgirl. Before Overgirl explodes, Supergirl is able to fly her up into space.
Out, yeah.
So that no one, because she's basically a bomb at this point. And we've seen this before in comics, what happens with Superman.
The radiation
can cause him to explode, and you don't want any casualties. So she flies Overgirl up there, but the problem being, she's going to take the brunt of this explosion, and she does, basically taking the explosion to the face and falling down basically from the Earth's atmosphere, something that could, I mean, I don't know if it could kill her, but definitely hurt her, except she is held... Or she's caught by the Dude of Steel.
The Dude of Steel.
I refuse to call him the Man of Steel. Commander Steel. Who catches her at the very last minute, which basically saves the day. Because once the Dark Archer finds out that his wife, the whole reason for this fight, is gone, is dead. He turns to catch an arrow straight to the heart from like a foot's distance from Oliver Queen. Which was absolutely awesome, and Reverse Flash gets to live another day because Barry lets him go. How do you feel about that? How did you feel about...
I don't know, but Barry's going to get him one day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Barry said he's going to get him one day. Hopefully, now that Eobard Thorne's free, hopefully nobody else ends up being a victim, but who knows now because he is free, and that's going to lead to some very dangerous, dangerous things. But with the radiation explosion, Thorne is able to take control of the main Wave Rider and destroy the Nazi Wave Rider, which is also pretty cool because we got to see two Wave Riders, an evil one and a good one. The Legends all got to play, like I said, just a star-studded cast. Everyone got to take down the Nazis, and Nazis are evil, so... You know, there was no problem with seeing people get their just desserts.
All this eye candy.
You know, and they did such smart things in here to lay into the future of what a lot of these shows are going to be. You got to see somebody that we thought could be Barry's daughter at the wedding ceremony. The Ray seems to be on this earth. Yeah,
too friendly.
Way too friendly.
I was like, get off me, young lady.
Way too friendly. The Ray seems to be now on this earth. So that leads to the future with that. Supergirl now knows that Ollie has Kryptonite Arrow. Is that going to lead to anything? You know, they did so much to go forward with this, but I think that they did so much also to instill hope in everybody. They know what's going on in the political climate, and they know what's going on with, you know, just look what's going on even with Andrew Kreisberg himself, who created these shows, the sexual allegations. we need hope, and I thought this crossover did a great job to give us that hope, especially with how it ended with a double wedding.
Yes.
John Diggle, who is ordained.
Started out with one, we got two.
John Diggle, who is ordained.
With the booze.
Is able to marry Ollie and Felicity and Barry and Iris, who choose, both couples choose not to wait a second longer. Nope. They just want to be married. I thought it was beautiful.
I thought it was too. Ollie, for boo.
Ollie got what he wanted. Iris and Flash got what they wanted. I'm happy for the crossover, but I'm ready to get back into our separate shows.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what this crossover was for. Have us excited for what came and what's to come. What did you think?
We back. We back on track now. Now we back to the singular ones. I love these crossovers, man. I look forward to all of them every time they start announcing them. Have they announced the next one?
No. We won't know till next year. Well, yeah, and who knows how many shows we'll have by then. Black Lightning is coming. Who knows how many shows we'll have by then. So it's gonna be out of control, and they already have a bigger cast than they have in the movies.
Yeah,
a bigger cast in the Justice League. They already have more hope than they have with the Justice League.
All the hope is on TV.
These action scenes, you know, I like the practical stuff more. The Batman stuff, you know, where actual hand to hand, like what you see with Ollie and the CGI stuff. They have to start going back more to that. But DC, this is what we like. This is what we want. Please give us more DC, CW stuff.
Yeah.
When in your movies, it don't gotta be all lovey-dovey. It don't gotta be all, you know.
Just treat us right, like they always do.
And bring back hope. But one thing that we hope is that you come right back, because that is the end of the first episode of Major Issues. Woo, we got the kinks out. Hopefully we get all the kinks out by the time the next episode issue
deuce
comes down. We have a bunch more to cover. We're going to cover Justice League. We're going to cover Thor. These episodes are going to be trailing in, so make sure that you follow everything that we do at Comic Book Click by going to facebook.com/comicbookclick, instagram@comicbookclick, or use the #comicbookclick to talk about the newest, hottest, latest, and greatest things to come to comic books and comic book media. That's talking about movies, TV shows, and come on, comics. We finally talking about comics. Woo! We have a podcast talking about comics, and you guys can be, you know, just as much a part of this as you have been. You guys have pushed us through the YouTube world. Well, now we're in the podcast universe.
We're here now because of you.
You guys wanted this, and now you got it. Also, don't forget that Comic Book Click has a Gmail, comicbookclick@gmail.com, in case you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, things that you want us to cover here, because we're covering it all, and we're doing it all for you, and doing it all free of charge. How awesome is that? How awesome and convenient is that? It's been a pleasure, brother.
Yes.
Thank you for coming through for this episode, and hopefully you're on a lot more.
Thank you for having me.
This is kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
It's kind of fun just talking about our heroes, and I'm pretty sure we missed some stuff, but that's where you guys come in. Be part of the conversation. Be part of the click. This has been the first episode of Major Issues. My name is George Serrano, a.k.a. The Don.
I have been Claudius Maximus.
And remember that you, yes you, are worthy.